Luke chapter 14, and I'll begin at verse 16. And this is Jesus speaking. It says, "Then he said to him, a certain man gave a great supper and invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, come, for all things are now ready. But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a piece of ground and I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I am going to test them. I ask you to have me excused. Still another said, I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. And the servant said, master, it is done as you commanded, and still there is room. Then the master said to the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say to you, that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper." Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray, Lord, that you would speak to each one of us, even now. We pray that we would have ears to hear, a heart to receive what you have to say. In Jesus' name, amen. What we see described here by Jesus is a story of a man who is preparing a great feast, an incredible feast, and he is inviting anyone who will to come to this feast. And it's the generosity of this man, it's the love of this man, it's the great kindness of this man, and the people haven't done anything to deserve to come to this feast. It's just the great goodness of this man that is being described here. And immediately what we find is, as they're being invited to the feast, that they begin to make excuses. Now, I wonder, is it not true that as we go about our life, we're constantly making excuses about different things? Maybe your parents ask you to do something. Maybe your parents have told you to do something. And then you start to make excuses as to why you haven't done it. And life becomes this, we find our lives full of it, making excuses about different things. And here we find that there were these people here that were making an excuse as to why they shouldn't be at the feast. And this is an extraordinary thing, really, because when you think about it, this man was showing kindness, he was showing love, he was showing generosity, and yet they were saying, well, I've got other things that are better. And the first person said he'd bought some land and he wanted to go off and do it, go and check on this land. Someone else had bought some ox and he wanted to look after those ox. And someone else had got married and that's all he was interested in. And I wonder today, and even tonight, I wonder if you're saying, well, I hear this offer of good news. I hear the offer of the gospel. I hear time and again that you tell me about how I can have my sins forgiven, how I can know God, how I can have a relationship with God, how my life can be changed. You hear that. You hear how that you can spend eternity with God, and you hear this time and again. And yet, what you're saying in your heart is, well, actually, what you're saying in your heart is, I don't really want to know about the generosity of God. I've got more important things to be concerned about. And you're turning your back on the generosity of God. Now, this is what these people were doing to this man. Now, if you saw these people, and this man is offering them to come and have this wonderful feast, and him just be showing his kindness and his goodness towards them, we would look on at those people and say, you're mad to reject this generosity. You're mad to reject what this man is doing. He's doing it out of the generosity and love and kindness of his heart, and he's offering you this feast, and you haven't got to do anything to come along. You've just come along and you'll enjoy this feast, and all you're interested in is the things that are around you. And the same is true of you tonight. You see, what is it, what you may be saying, well, if I'm honest, yes, I believe there is a God. If I'm honest, yes, I can see that I'm a sinner. I can see that even that Jesus died for my sins. And yet, in your heart, you're making excuses why you shouldn't turn to God. Why you shouldn't receive his generosity and his love in that he is offering you that freedom from sin, that a new life, all the good things that God wants to offer you, and how he wants to give you that guarantee of spending eternity with him. And he offers it freely, and yet in your heart you're making excuses. You're saying, well, I've got my life to live. I've got these concerns. I've got these things to do. I'm happy as I am. And all the time you're making excuses why you shouldn't enjoy this feast that God has got for you. And that feast is the gospel. It's the good news of how you can know God and know him loving you and knowing him caring for you. I'm just sharing a story that the Lord Jesus told, and how this story was about a certain man who put on a great feast and invited anyone who would come to come to this great feast. And it was showing this great love and his generosity, and it wasn't a requirement of the people to do anything. It wasn't about what they had to do to earn their way into this feast. He was just inviting them, and anyone who would could come to this feast. And they immediately started to make excuses, and started to make these excuses as to why they should be let off coming to the feast. And how some of them were more concerned with their land, and some were more concerned with their family, and all these things. And just sharing this message really is this, that God has a feast for you. And this feast is all the good things that he has for you. You may not see it right at this moment, but God has so much good for you. He's a loving God, he's a generous God, he's a good God, and he is a God that wants to pour out good things upon you and in your life. He wants to forgive you of all your sins, so that immediately you know him, and immediately you know him, you will know his love and his goodness. And he wants to pour into your life good things. And he offers that freely. But at the moment, what you're doing in your heart is making an excuse. You may have umpteen excuses in your heart why you shouldn't turn to God, why you shouldn't come and say, yes, I know that I'm a sinner, I know that I've turned against you, but I want to be part of this feast. I want to be part of your goodness. I want to know you. I want to be there at the feast even now, and I want to be receiving for the good things that you have for me. And you can be making this excuse and saying, well, I've got my life to live. I'm enjoying my life as it is. But what an awful thing to reject a God who is good and is generous and is kind and is loving and has only got good things for you, and just to reject that goodness and that love and say, well, you know, the things of this world, well, they're better. And yet God is so loving, and he's saying, well, I've got something far better for you, if only you'll turn to me. And the way that you turn to him is just so simple. the way to come into this feast, the way to come into the goodness of all that God has for you is so simple. He doesn't require that you do great things to do great works. If someone on earth was offering you great things, they would ask you to do things for it. If they said, well, I'll pay you lots of money, that you'd have to work for it. But God's not like that. God's not saying, right, well, I'm going to give you lots of good things, but you've got to work for it, you've got to do this, you've got to do that. He's not like that. God is a generous God who has said, if you will just turn to me and acknowledge me, and acknowledge that you're needy, and that you are lacking, and that you've rejected me and rebelled against me. If you will just acknowledge that, confess that to me, then you can come into my feast. You can join me, and you will have a relationship with me, and I will give you good things throughout your life. And what's more, you will spend eternity with me. But there's a dreadful warning at the end of the passage that we read. It says, for I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper. Now, those who made the excuses and said, well, I've got this excuse, I've got that excuse, just let me not be part of this feast. He says to them, well, then you're not going to be part of my supper. You're not going to be part of my feast. You're not going to be part of my goodness. And you'll spend eternity separate from me in hell. That's the reality of it. He offers you his goodness. He offers you to be part of and having a relationship with him. And yet, all the while, day by day, you're making excuses. You're making these excuses why you shouldn't turn to him. The things of this world can look so enticing. They can look so attractive. And it's all a deception. It's all a trick to entice you away from something that is far better, which is God and knowing God and all the things that God has for you. It's a trick. You see how, think of it like this. Think of the way advertising works and how with advertising, it's all trying to entice you to buy something. And then when you've bought it, you realize that it's not as good as the advertising made out. And you see, this is what the world is like. It's all the time trying to entice you with the things of this world. But you see, God's got something far better for you. He's got eternal life. He's got real life that comes from him. Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life to its full. I've come to give you something that will really satisfy your heart. You're looking for something that will satisfy you. You're constantly looking for something that will satisfy you. But you can't find it. And the way you're going to find it is when you turn to God and you come and enter into this feast that he has for you and all the goodness that he has for you. And if you will just turn to him, you will receive from him. So don't make these excuses. Cease the excuses. Stop saying in your heart, well, yes, I believe in God, but not now. Yes, I will turn to God, but one day, when I'm older, maybe when I've lived a life a bit. Don't make the excuses. Don't say, well, you know, I've got things that are more important in my life at the moment. I've got my friends, I've got my family, I've got these things that are more important in my life. Rather, turn to God. Don't bring those excuses anymore, because he's a loving God, he's a good God. He's got only good things for you, if only you'll turn to him. It's very simple. Just acknowledge your sin. And acknowledge that Jesus died for you, that he went to the cross in your place. Think of the pain, think of the agony, think of him bearing in his own body your sin, all the things that you've ever done wrong, and it was just as if he had done them. Think of it for a moment. Think of the thought, you know, consider some of the thoughts you've had in the past week, some of the words you've said that have been unkind, that have been unclean, that have been cruel. Think of those things. And then think of this. that it, when Jesus went to the cross, it was just as if he had done those things. And God the Father punished him instead of you. That's the love of God. That's the goodness of God. That's the kindness of God. Don't make any more excuses as to why you should not turn to God and put your trust in him. There is a time where in our lives where we have to cease making excuses. We can make excuses about everything, about why we haven't done this, why we haven't done that, why in all sorts of matters in our life. But this is one excuse where you need to put it behind you and say, I'm not going to make this excuse anymore. I'm going to turn to God and I'm going to trust him and I'm going to receive all that he has for me, because I see that he's a loving God. He's done so much for me in dying for me. How can I reject him? How can I turn against him? So if you will just turn to him, you will know peace in your heart. You'll know a joy in your heart and you'll be free from all your sin. Amen.